You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Curtain up, theater people. Welcome to Your Program Is Your Ticket. My name is Sean Chandler, and I'll be your host. Your Program Is Your Ticket is a discussion of smaller theater works and the people and organizations that make it happen. As many of you know, Your Program Is Your Ticket is a helpful system where your program is literally your ticket to get into the theater in smaller, more intimate productions. It's these works we like to highlight, and it's our goal on this show to feature as many of these productions as possible while still discussing the biggies. Tonight's episode of Your Program Is Your Ticket has me in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, where I am fortunate enough to attend the Broadway Comes to Chagrin fundraising gala. And while I'm here, I have been presented with the most excellent opportunity of interviewing Tom Fulton, who happens to be the founder and artistic producing director of the Academy for the Performing Arts, a sensational college prep program serving the 10 school districts in the Mayfield Consortium of Ohio with detailed acting and technical programs. In addition, Mr. Fulton is an award-winning professional actor and director. Now, I could spend an entire episode detailing his resume. It is like 3 pages long. It's really long. He's done a lot. But I'm sure it would be far more enjoyable to have him tell you about himself and the amazing Academy for the Performing Arts. So let's bring him on. Folks, please welcome to the show the founder and artistic and producing director of the Academy for the Performing Arts, Tom Fulton. Hi, Tom. Welcome to Your Program Is Your Ticket.
Thank you very much, Sean. I want to thank you for flying all the way to Chagrin Falls from New York City.
Well, it's my pleasure. I had a great time interviewing Corey Cott and Rob Sapp, who are the honorary co-chair and director of the event. So it's been just such a wonderful experience so far, and I've heard so many good things about you. Now, you seem like a guy who wears a lot of hats. You spin a lot of plates, as I like to say. And I've touched a little on your background in my introduction. Can you expand a little more on your full career? Because it's big.
Well, I'm an old man. I couldn't help it.
I feel you.
I grew up in Chagrin Falls and then went away. We're sitting at the Chagrin Valley Little Theater, one of their rehearsal rooms right now. And
I believe it's called The Loft.
The Loft.
We're in The Loft, yes.
And, right after college, I directed a number of shows here, sort of getting my feet wet as a director. So I have a very fond place in my heart with it. I went to Southern Methodist University after graduating from Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan, and I just immediately wanted to work, and I started through a whole series of strange circumstances. I was going around the country with friends, and we were auditioning for rep theaters, and I had stopped here in Cleveland to see my folks, and somebody told me that I should go down to downtown Cleveland and see this theater that was down in Public Auditorium. I said, okay, so we went down, and there was this incredible 600-seat, beautiful old 1920s Art Deco theater, and not being used at all. And I said to the commissioner of the Public Auditorium, how would we use this? He says, oh, well, you could just sign up. And I said, well, I got this idea. I wonder if I could talk to the mayor. And he said, yeah, we could work that out. And it was the mayor at the time was Ralph Perk, and he was in this whole revitalization of downtown Cleveland campaign. So I went to his office, and I said, well, here's my plan. I gave him a 10-page prospectus, and he said, well, this is great, young man. Now, when can we get started? And I said, well, just a small matter of funding.
Right, yep.
And through a lot of help from the mayor and people in Cleveland, we got it funded, and it became part of his revitalization plan. And I started a professional LORT theater called Center Repertory Theater. And from there, I just ended up getting settled here in Cleveland. I've been around, I've done a lot of theater and regional theater. I worked at the Cleveland Playhouse as a company member when the Cleveland Playhouse still had a company, and I was there for 5 years, and I've worked up at Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, and I've worked in Dallas, and I've worked in lots of cities around the country, but I just made this my home, and so I've been doing theater, mostly classical theater, in the Cleveland area since 1975.
That's terrific. Now, how did the Academy for the Performing Arts come about?
Well, I think this is my last job. I mean, I hope I'll keep acting until I drop dead,
right?
And directing. But 10 years ago, I got a call from the superintendent of the Chagrin Falls Schools, which is a beautiful school system. They had just built a brand new theater, $6 million beautiful performing arts center. And one of the provisions in getting funding for that was that they produce some kind of an academy or some kind of training. And I was, at the time, I was an artistic director for the Fairmount Center for the Arts, and that's how I got involved. He wanted somebody to be on a committee to discuss how an academy might look. Well, I've been planning this for 30 years. I mean, I had millions of ideas, and I said, yeah, I'd love to, and I came in, and I sat on the committee, and I threw out my ideas, and they all nodded, and they said, well, that's a good idea. Oh, that's another good idea. And I don't know, somebody just woke up one night, and I walked in the next meeting. I said, I'm resigning from the committee because I want to be considered for the job.
Wow.
And then after 6 months of vetting, they gave it to me. That was 10 years ago. So we've been at the Academy now for 10 years. I just love it. I never thought that I would be teaching high school kids. I teach juniors and seniors. Mostly I trained, when I was at the Playhouse, I did classes there. I've spent my life training professional actors and professional workshops for actors. And I thought, well, this work that we do is mostly Stanislavski-based, and I didn't know exactly how the young kids would take to it, but frankly, it's amazing how they take to it. Turns out that they're especially designed to do it. They haven't developed the cynicism of professional actors yet. They're not afraid to do anything. They're not protecting their career, their reputation. They're just learning. And it turns out that they all are desperate to find a way to express who they are as individuals and find their own power. And that's really our focus at the Academy, is to find their uniqueness so they have a chance of standing out in the professional crowd.
We have a lot of theater beginners that listen to the podcast. Talk a little bit about Stanislavski's method, just so people understand what you're mentioning.
Well, Stanislavski, first of all, hated the idea of a method or a system, but he believed that he started out by looking at great actors, and he kept saying, how can we systematize this? The great actors wouldn't really know what they did. Sometimes they sit backstage and shake a ladder, you know, to get into Macbeth.
Right.
You know, that obviously cannot be a class in shaking a ladder. There has to be something else that goes on.
A curriculum, yeah.
Yeah, and so he spent his life trying to break apart the process that makes actors be able to contact their subconscious, because the thing that we know that works in the theater is when the actor disappears and some kind of inspiration explodes into their body and they're there as if they're not there. It's just the world of the play, and there's a revelation, there's a moment of, and so everything that happens in the system of training people with Stanislavski is trying to find a way to find privacy in public, to focus your attention on something other than the audience, something other than your Aunt Millie in the front row, and focus your attention on the world of the play and the action that you are trying to solve. Particularly when you choose an action, it needs to have to do with the partner, your opposite partner. You need to be trying to do something to change that person or to make him feel something or make him want something or change his mind. So you're always working to direct and alter the other person. That's where the conflict comes from, because the other person doesn't want to be altered. He wants his thing. And so then you get into it. And as soon as you start doing that, all the emotions come by themselves. We tell, you know, it's no, Stanislavski's great aphorism is, do the action and the feelings will come of their own accord. Leave feeling and spiritual content alone when you're trying to create a role. Work on what you can do with your hands and your body.
Wow. A masterclass here, folks. Tom Fulton on that's amazing. Now you're saying that the students, because they're a little bit more blank slate.
Yes.
They are easier to teach that.
Yes.
Now is it because you feel that they're a little more open?
They're way more open.
Oh, okay.
They want to learn. And I'm not saying, I mean, I've worked with actors from 17 years old to 90 years old. Mm-hmm. And it depends on you know, the person. But, you know, it's hard when you get older and you think, I'm going to go back and study. And, you know, we develop our own egos. And there's a lot of fear that goes into going to a class because you have to expose yourself.
Sure.
And it takes a special person to want to go back and do that because theater can be scary. We have to open up parts of ourselves that we may not want to. And so it's a very intimate kind of work. The kids are not afraid of that at all. Well, every now and then we've got, you know, we have all kinds of issues like shyness, and they're afraid to use their voices, and they don't know how to use their bodies. But we get them out of that right away. We get them jumping around, and I teach Arthur Lessek's voice training I've studied with both Arthur Lessek and Kristen Linkletter, and so I have some firsthand knowledge on how they approach things, and I've just sort of bought into all that and have made it work. And the kids get, they study with me 5 days a week for 2 years, and they learn everything about what they can in 2 years. It's really a first year and second year college preparatory program, and we get them ready for their auditions.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
Our kids do extremely well in the audition process. This year, well, for the last 3 years, our 40 graduating seniors have garnered over $5.5 million in scholarship offers each year.
Wow.
From different schools, great schools around the country. And a lot of our kids are doing extremely well in New York and in TV, and because we've been around for 10 years, it's seen long enough for them to get a career, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I see here you have like your curriculum for actor training, audition technique, acting Shakespeare, voice for the stage, action, sensory experiencing.
Right.
There are even production classes, which I think is really, really terrific to have. It's extremely detailed.
Yes, it's put together like a full college program. We do 8 shows a year. I got 90 kids in the program, 45 juniors and 45 seniors each year.
Jeez.
And
that's a lot.
And well, we divide them up into classes of 15 or so. But we want everybody to have as much. You can't study acting by just going to class. I mean, theory and exercise is one thing, but there's no deadline there.
Yeah.
But in the performance, you've got a whole different problem. You've got to bring it, and it's going to open on October 30th, and it's going to be there.
Right.
So it puts a different kind of pressure on things, and the only way that kids can really, you know, you can tell someone how to use a radial arm saw, but until they put it in their hands and pull it across the wood, they don't know what it really means.
Sure. Absolutely. You need the practical training. Now, I love that you have the technical theater program,
right,
which has classes in costume design, sound design, set design. I interview a lot of people on the technical side, stage managers, costume designers, lighting designers.
Right.
I think that's terrific. Talk a little bit about the technical theater program.
Well, there's a lot of kids that come through who are no interested in stepping on stage, but they're good artists or they're creative or they want to do costume design. They have interest in that. And so we have Ben Needham, who is our technical theater head, runs that side of the program. And it's amazing the stuff they're doing. This year they made a stop-action movie based on a Douglas Adams short story about a guy eating cookies in a subway station.
No way, that's
and,
great.
And it was just amazing. They were they took 4,000 individual photographs to make a stop action movie, and it was just remarkable. But they learned, you know, they're building our sets, they're hanging our lights, they're designing our lights. All the tech kids get a chance to stage manage or assistant stage manage.
Sure.
They get a chance to design our show. We did Hamlet last March, and we had a student designer for that who did an incredible job with the set. And so they're getting a chance to seriously put their skills into practical use as well.
Wow, that's amazing. And so important.
Yeah.
I mean, we always see the face is typically the actor, the performer, and I like to let people know that there are probably 20, 30 people behind that performer.
That's right.
That are working to make that performance work.
When you go to a movie set and you see how many people are backstage, and you got one actor on stage.
Right, exactly.
The support mechanism for actors in theater and in the movies and in television is massive. You look at those credits at the end of a movie and see how many people were required to make that thing. Thousands.
Oh.
And so there's lots of work in technical theater if you're, like anything else, if you're a bit of an entrepreneur and you're you can market yourself without shame.
Right. Yeah, I hear that. I understand. Guilty, big time. But that's so wonderful. And I interview a lot of younger actors who are just coming out of college or school, and they're starting off in New York or Chicago or L.A., and they are so respectful of the technical staff and the technical team, reverential. And I'm so glad that respect is being taught, not just by having them do those jobs from time, so you get empathy for that, but also just understanding that it's a group effort and it's a team.
Without that, it's not full training. Our acting students have to take tech classes, and our tech classes take acting classes.
Oh, wow.
Because there has to be some understanding of the amount of work that's going into make those actors on stage look good, sound good, have a set that doesn't fall apart, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I remember as a writer, I'm a terrible actor, but as a writer, I've taken 2 acting classes for the sake of empathy, so that I know what I'm writing, I have to know what they're having to deal with up there.
Of course.
And what I can push them to deal with. And then I took the classes, and I'm like, oh my God, there's lines, and there's movement, and there's walking, not running in here, and then making it all look like natural and effortless.
Right.
It's just, it's a system of alchemy.
That's the trick, isn't it? To make it effortless and natural and easy and believable. That's the tough part.
And I can't do that. So I have mad respect for people who absolutely can. How have the students inspired you as a teacher and artistic director? How have they affected you?
Well, I'm ashamed sometimes of my own reticence to do things, and I see them willing to go and do it. I mean, I've learned a lot teaching these kids, because I've had to break things down sometimes to even more simple explanations in the beginning. And there's nothing better for an actor and a director than trying to teach, because it forces you to articulate your approach, your method, your system, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Getting to know how you work is a huge part of being a professional actor, because you're not always going to get a lovely teaching director who's going to hold your hand and take you moment by moment through the play. They're going to say, well, I cast you, you look for the role, just, you know, you're the expert, go and do it over there. And so, okay. So I've got to be able to do so. I can't just move around the stage like a marionette. I have to know what I'm doing.
Right.
And so for all the years that I've been teaching, I've developed a sense of what the work really is on a very intimate basis with myself. Because I think learning to act is a lifelong project. And so working with these kids and seeing what, how available all human beings seem to be to this inbred desire and need to create and to express themselves and to be, to plant themselves on this planet and say, this is me, and what I have to say is beautiful and important, and it touches the soul of humanity. And I see that happen all the time. I'm like, geez, unbelievable. And now these kids are going off to audition for colleges, and they're walking in with those skills, and a lot of the colleges now say, oh, you're an Academy student.
Right. Good.
So I'm glad to hear that. And we do get a number of colleges coming to recruit, too, which is cool.
That's great. It sounds like you ask them to be accountable for the whole experience. Don't just walk in and say, I'm here and I'm the conduit for you. You're asking them to walk in and be prepared, make the decisions, create the environment in their mind around them, and have that. And I think that that type of confidence and concrete evidence in the audition room pays off big time.
Huge. Yeah, the person who thinks he's God's gift to the theater is usually not going to get much work.
Oh, right, totally.
I mean, it's all about who you like to work with. There's too many strange things that go on in the theater with strange people who find their way around the perimeter of things. And the people that work all the time are people that you like working with.
Sure.
That are kind people and generous people and humble people, mm-hmm. not people who are all about me, 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 me. Because if it's that, then you're not serving the play, you're not serving the world of the play, and you have no chance of transforming the audience at all.
Wow. That's just such wonderful advice. I know I didn't ask you for advice, but listen to that and take that as advice, because that is so important. It's character. It's how people establish relationships with people.
Right.
I say this all the time on my show, but when I started to have success as a writer, I had to go to therapy because I'm that neurotic, and I had to have therapy for success, but which I found out isn't really all that unusual.
No, yeah. We all need therapy.
Right. Exactly.
All you young people listening, when it gets crazy, get a therapist.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with it. It'll help you.
But her best piece of advice was to tell me, if you focus on the relationships and you manufacture the relationships and you nurture them, that's gonna take you way further than anything else.
If somebody's preoccupied and they have a lot of anxiety, a lot of actors have terrible anxiety problems, the solution always is to help, reach out, give to somebody else. Get your damn mind off your damn self and start helping somebody.
Right.
It has a huge impact on anxiety.
I totally agree. Now, as an artist yourself, as well as someone who is shaping the future of our theater artists, what do you think is an important direction theater overall is taking right now?
Well, the theater itself, I think, is moving in a very positive direction. We went through a period where it seemed like it was sort of stagnant, but we're starting to see a lot of blood starting to boil with the social and political world. I'd like to see, we've done a lot of plays, new plays at the Academy, like we did a play called Doubt, John Patrick Shanley's beautiful play.
I love that play.
Unbelievable
so
play.
Good.
And a play that deals with things that shake up our society, you know, that poke its finger into sacred cows and, mm-hmm. you know, all about child abuse and covering up child abuse. And with our new Me Too movement, plays that cope with the dignity of women, we're seeing much, much more of that starting to come across.
Sure.
And I don't know, I kind of hope that, I know that you write musicals.
I do.
And I'm kind of hope that we probably are moving away from these gigantic $10 million extravaganzas on Broadway, which are fun to watch, like going to a circus, but it's not the same as going to the theater.
Right.
They're on opposite ends of the scale. One is meant to dazzle and surprise, and the other is meant to make you thoughtful and introspective and think about your place on the planet. And I like plays like that. I mean, I love I have a predilection. I'm sort of an old school kind of guy because I cut my teeth on Chekhov and Ibsen and Shakespeare and O'Neill and Miller and Williams. And so I'm sort of an old fogey. But I keep looking for the new plays. And some of my favorite experiences in the theater were doing back in the 70s, doing a play like Streamers by David Rabe, which just rips the guts out of somebody. And, like Doubt. And, I love Christopher Durang's Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike, which is just terrific. And I love the power of storytelling in Pillow Man by Martin McDonagh. And I think, you know, along with all that classical theater is this wonderful dysfunctional family plays like August Osage County, which is just...
That play is so great.
It's amazing. I don't think I can do it at the Academy. I think the language might stop me. We're pretty... free to go places where most high schools can't go.
Sure.
We don't really have a censorship problem, but that's also because we are cognizant of, you know, what's appropriate. But I, when I came to the Academy, somebody told me, oh, you got to really be careful because when we were doing a pajama game, the parents were upset because they were wearing pajamas. And I said, well, okay.
Wow.
But that never, ever occurred. And I've done some really hard-hitting stuff, and we've done lots of Shakespeare and lots of Chekhov, and we've done The Crucible, of course, and over the last 10 years, we've done over 80 productions, and we mine the best of classical and modern theater, because I want these kids, the only way the kids can really learn how to do a new play is to have a classical repertoire in their background. If you can do Chekhov, you can do anything in the modern theater, because you understand the mechanics of what makes an actor, a character, live on the stage by existing in a world that is their own, that belongs to them. And it's like looking, it's like the audience has to look through a peephole. Like, you see a guy walking, you're walking down the street, you see a guy looking through a hole in the fence, and you go, "What's? I want to see what that is." So it's what acting is like. It's like, never mind you guys in the audience, I'm doing something here. And if you're interested, watch, go ahead. If you don't, go home. I don't care.
That's a great analogy.
It's just
looking through a hole in a fence. I love it.
And so Stanislavski said he liked to think that the audience didn't think, oh, I'm going to go to the theater tonight. They would say, I want to go have dinner with the Prizorovs and the Three Sisters. You know, and so there was this sense that that the naturalism that he was developing, which was pretty new at the time, was a whole different approach to acting. Of course, now everybody's influenced by Chekhov in all of our movies. Everything is naturalism and realism, except for, you know, some of the... Like, I think... like War Horse. Did you see that play?
I loved it.
Oh, because it's so theatrical. And we don't try to pretend that there's really a horse on stage. So we go, these are actors, and this is a leather puppet, and we're going to move them around. But after 2 minutes, you completely forget that that's there. And you get pulled up out of your seats and into a world that is... theatricality brings life up to an incredible height. And not only that, the play is about man's relationship with animals and the horror of war. So you put all those together and you got an unbelievable play.
Oh my gosh. That scene with the barbed wire. I was just talking about this with a friend earlier, that I think that some of the best theater creates a psychology in the audience.
Yeah.
It's making them think a certain way. Yeah. It's conditioning them while they're sitting there. And I just remember thinking that play did not let go until like the last 10 seconds. It was like, I felt like I was being slammed against the wall and loving it over and over and over again. I thought it was fun.
The play experience is 1,000 times better than the movie.
Oh, yeah.
The movie was nice, but it was more like Fury. That going to that is very sophisticated Brechtian kind of theater, which is very much... We're not going to hide anything from you. We're not going to put a pretty backdrop up and say you're in France. We're going to, with our skills as actors and acrobats and performers, we're going to create a world in front of you like magic. And it's exactly what it's like. It's like watching a magic trick that you can't believe.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that With brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
It was directed by Marianne Elliott, I believe, from London, and then she brought it to New York. And she also directed Curious Incident of the Dog at the time, which was very, very much the same.
Right, very much.
There's a lot of movement in her work. Also, she directed the current production of Angels in America, which was a lot like it too.
Yeah, well, Angels in America is another brilliant, brilliant play.
Oh yeah,
that it stretches all the limits of theatricality and
sure.
and humanity.
Right.
I mean, the pain in that play just reaches out and grabs you by the heart and messes with it.
Oh yeah, totally. It rings you out big time.
It does, very much.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. It's like August Osage County, which was like 4 hours long.
I know.
And just flies by.
I know.
You know, I've seen shorter plays that have felt a lot longer.
Oh well, listen, I've never cared about the length of a play as long as what's happening on the stage is moving us. I can see a 90-minute play and want to get out of there after 10 minutes.
Right.
But you can sit through 4 hours of a great performance and want it never to end.
Sure.
I want to go to the theater where I sit there and the curtains come down and I, like when I read Lord of the Rings, I read all three of those books. I didn't want it to end. Where's my, I want to know more.
Wow.
I want the theater to do that to me too. And that's what we try to train the kids to get, is that if you will share as much of yourself as possible and commit to the world of the play and serve the playwright's genius, you will do that. But if you just get up there and show everybody your pretty ankles and your pretty face and or walk mechanically across the stage and speak your lines with well-rounded syllables, nobody cares.
Yeah, it'll leave them flat.
Yeah.
They
are wonderful technical actors, but they can't ever reach into the heart. They can dazzle, but they can't move.
Absolutely. You can tell when it's all there.
Yep.
You really can. And not just a theater professional, just a general audience member. Maybe they can't identify why it's not all there, but they're not connecting.
Right.
They're not connecting at
right.
all. Now, I feel like you've given us so many gems to take away from this, but do you have any further words of encouragement for our up-and-coming theater artists? I mean, you've given us so much. I feel like it's redundant, but you have one more?
Yeah.
Or two more.
I think, first of all, if somebody has talent, you have to start with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have talent, we can't help you. But if you have talent, you can move from being a reasonably good actor to a very, very good actor. And if you want to and you stick with it, you can work in the theater. Don't make Broadway your ultimate goal. It'd be nice if you can stop there along the way.
Sure.
But it doesn't happen to very many people. But you can work all over this country. This is a very rich country full of theater. And with Netflix and with the cable movies, there's 400 projects going on at any time. And they need actors. And they need new actors.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to do it, learn the rules of the game in terms of getting the job. That's marketing yourself. And then don't give up. And if you get rejected 10 times, each time you get rejected, just go, next, and let it go.
Yeah.
The real goal for an actor, I think, is you should have one goal, and that is to spend the rest of your life mastering your craft, because you never will, and it's like a man's reach must exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for? That's what has to happen to artists. I'm never going to get there, but I can always work on getting better.
Sure.
And I'm always succeeding in my business then. You don't have to be on Broadway to be a great actor. The road to Chekhov is just as far in Cleveland as it is in New York City.
Well, that's terrific. I love that. And it's true. It reminds me of a story where my husband is an actor, and at one point he was talking to his mom on the phone. He's like, well, I'm taking an acting class with, you know, at HB Studio in New York. And she said, why are you going to class? You already know how to be an actor.
You know everything, right. Well, but see, he's doing exactly what serious actors do. They either have to be working And if you're not working, you need to be training.
Right.
And if you're not training, you need to be reading plays. And if you're not reading plays, you need to be seeing plays. You need to know what's out there. You need to constantly keep your body and your mind active on your craft. The craft is the center, not your career. The people who put craft as center will always be successful.
Wow. Terrific. Wow. That's amazing. Now, before I let you go, is there any social media information you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, if people happen to be coming by Cleveland, we have a website which tells what's going on. It's chagrinacademy.org. Mm-hmm. We're about to open in 2 weeks that great play, Peter and the Star Catcher.
Love that.
And it just runs for a weekend, May 4th, 5th, 6th, or through 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last show of our 10th anniversary season. Next year, for people who might be hearing this in our area, we're opening a season next year with Young Frankenstein, the musical, which is the greatest thing. But we're doing it in conjunction with the Tech Kids are building a haunted house right across the street. I mean, a really scary haunted house. We've got a guy coming in to direct it, who's done haunted houses all over Cleveland. And so he's bringing it all, and it's going to be, we have what we call dial a scare, where if you're a 1-year-old, you can get a one scare, but if you really don't want to have things held back, you get to go to a 10 scare, and then we'll scare the bejesus out of you.
Wow. I would have to be, you know, like a two or a one with a 1-year,
well,
if you're holding hands.
So the theory is that they'll come to the haunted house and then go across the driveway and see Young Frankenstein, or vice versa.
Wow, it's a great show. I saw it on Broadway. Howling.
Just the funniest show ever.
And a great movie. It's my father-in-law's favorite movie. That's so cool. It's interactive, and they have a theater experience. That's amazing. You guys are really, really doing it right. I think that's amazing. I might have to come back for that.
Well, I would love to have you, and you just have to call me, and I'll make sure that you get in.
Oh, cool. I heard a lot last night at a mixer about Halloween here in Chagrin.
Well, yes,
and
they have.
You guys, apparently, you do it up out here.
Well, they do this thing which is theoretically illegal, but the cops just let it happen. There's this pumpkin roll. There's a big hill in Chagrin Falls, and kids go and steal pumpkins off of porches and throw them down this hill until the whole hill is filled with smashed pumpkins, and then they slide down it on sleds and little round, what are those things are called? And people are always going to the hospital and getting broken legs, but mostly they're just having fun.
Wow. I heard a lot about that last night.
Yeah.
That was fun. The pumpkin sliding. That's very cool. Well, Tom, this has been delightful.
Thank you. I've enjoyed myself completely.
Well, good. I'm glad. So much wonderful information and lessons, and it's really nice to hear from an educator always, because it's so valuable, and I've just had such a wonderful time.
Thank you. Me too.
In your city and interviewing you. So, anyways, thank you for being with us. Tom Fulton of the Academy for Performing Arts. Just so amazing.
Onward.
Exactly. That's onward and always keep learning, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Knowledge is power.
Indeed. Well, folks, the proverbial 11 o'clock number has been sung and the bows have been taken, so it's time to lower the curtain. For complete information on the Academy for the Performing Arts, please visit their website at, as Tom said, chagrinacademy.org, and do take note, as Tom said also, that they do have a production of Peter and the Star Catcher. Great show. I saw it at the Pantages. It's so creative, and lots of opportunities for the technical students as well. That's coming up from May 3rd to May 6th. Go see it. It's just such a fun show. As far as me, you can find more episodes of Your Program Is Your Ticket at facebook.com/YourProgramIsYourTicket. I'm on Twitter at @programticket. The website is YourProgramIsYourTicket.com. How convenient is that? I'm on iTunes and SoundCloud. Rate me and write me a review. Subscribe. That all helps me with my profile, and I appreciate it. Folks, take a little time to see a show this week, and don't forget to give a smaller show some love. There's lots of theater gems out there. Until our next show, good night, theater people, and curtain.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.